All right, welcome to a very special edition of the podcast. And Robbie Hummel has been replaced by my daughter, Talia, as you can see. And it is the Baylor National Title edition of the pod. There you see Jared Butler showing up for this. And Jared, congrats. This is for all you guys, but mostly for Scott Drew. And it's sort of a tribute slash, we won't do what we did to Paul Mills. We won't absolutely crush Scott like we did Paul Mills a few weeks ago, but we will tell some stories, or you guys will tell some stories. And we've got a bunch of former Baylor players, current players, former coaches, current coaches. And Scott, let me start with this. What does it feel like to be a national champion right now?
Well, it feels great because you see all the men on this screen and to know that they're champions because they laid the foundation and helped make this possible. So to see all them excited and being able to celebrate this together, that's what definitely brings me the most joy. I would be remiss to let you talk about replacing Robbie Hummel and not saying it's an upgrade, though. So, Talia, there's a shout out.
Thank you. I very much appreciate that. All right, I've got a question for you. So going back to when you first took over at Baylor, you know, you were in a different place in life. You had a lot more hair. Can you take me back to that first interview you had? Can you tell the story of that?
Well, I definitely prayed about it, felt led to come here. And we pray about all our recruits that come here, that God gives us who we need. And he's blessed us with great young men. And the goal was to win championships, and the goal was to get in the NCAA tournament and make Baylor an elite power. And none of that happens without all these people on the call. And they believed, and they worked extremely hard, sacrificed a lot of time, energy, and love them all. So can't thank them enough.
All right, we're going to start with the old man of the group. We'll start with Driscoll. And he obviously started this thing with you, not just you two, but now, first of all, before we let Driscoll have the floor here, listen, Matt, here's the deal. You get 3 minutes and then the buzzer goes off. All right. Like no more than three. We got to get to a lot of people here. So you get your 3 minutes and then you're cut off. All right.
The first thing is, I don't think a lot of people know that Kelly was pregnant on the way down. And I told Coach Drew, I'm not coming back. So I called a realtor and said, I need you to sell my house again. I just lived there for 7 weeks. Need you to sell Coach Drew's because it's his realtor. And got on the plane with all my luggage and put it in the bathroom. And I didn't know till later that Kelly had to use the bathroom a lot on the way down on the plane because we didn't even know she was pregnant. So she couldn't use the bathroom because my luggage was in there. The thing about Coach was when we got there, we were on the way down and Lawrence Roberts was getting ready to leave for Mississippi State. So Coach was working it. We were going to land, and then we were going to drive in a car down to see Lawrence, see if we could make him switch his mind. Then we were going to drive back, do the 7 a.m. breakfast, then do the media relations thing we had to do. Coming out of his contract, he signs his contract, and Bryce is with us because Bryce goes down with us. So Bryce and I are looking at the Bears at 1:45 in the morning, and Coach comes out to sign his first ever contract. I'll never forget this. As he's walking out the door, Bryce is walking like right beside him, right near him. And the secretaries and the administrative assistants that are all sitting out there, they kind of get up and they kind of walk forward. And you could see Coach kind of, you know, like a peacock, kind of, you know, get a little bit like my first, you know, high major. And here I am. And I'm coming out and signed his first contract. And they skip right by him and say, "You Bryce Drew?" Oh, man, right off the D-Train screen. So that was before we even did the press conference. And all the other stories you heard of are really, really cool and really, really true. And, you know, we've been on Coach about his plugs. I just sent him something the other day, though. You can get PRP now. You can get PRP. David Chandler knows about PRP injections. But when Coach first practiced, we wore T-shirts, cutoff T-shirts, game shorts, and Adidas was kind enough to get us some back-ordered shoes from maybe two or three segments ago for teams that hadn't used them anymore. So that's how we got into the first practice. So a lot of things people don't know about. There's a whole ton of more stories. We interviewed a lot of these guys. Do you remember Tommy Swanson where Coach interviewed you? Where's Tommy at? Tall T, where did he interview you at? You remember? Do you remember where? On the pitching mound. at the baseball. There was a pitching mound. We were in back of the pitching mound. So anyways, there's my stories.
Who's got the craziest recruiting story of Scott Drew on this?
Do you mean like keeping your players, or do you mean like going and getting new ones?
Either or. I'll take either one.
Because Lace Dunn can
thanks, cool.
Lace Dunn transferred like 11 times, and Tweety Carter is the reason that he stayed. But
Do we use names, Coach Mills? So in 2006, we just built a practice facility, and we were going to get a top 20 draft pick. And that morning, Coach Drew, Janet, and Homer were in town because we were going to have a fish fry to celebrate. We thought we were getting it the night before. This kid, the high school coach, told us. So smartly, I go and get my teeth cleaned because I want to have great teeth because the fish fry is amazing. I walk in the office and Laura Cox is walking out. And Laura Cox, I said, hey, good morning. And she said to me, and I quote, that no good mother. And I'm like, wait, we don't swear here. And I turned to Miss Karen. Miss Karen's in tears. I walk in the office and Coach is slouched like this. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, like, what happened? So long story short, we end up not getting the kid. The kid ends up going to somewhere else and was a top 20 pick. And after we got done, Coach Drew, do you remember what I asked you?
Yeah, the dress was so great. He said, can we still do the fish fry?
Oh, man.
And it was awesome.
Hey, Coach Mills, can you please finish up, though? Because no one ever had to recruit a guy harder than Lace Dunn. Because he packed his stuff in the car how many times?
It's time.
Yeah, I'll tell you who can tell the story better than me is Fred Ellis. Because it was we had our first Camp 5. It was the second time. And Lace Dunn hated any morning workouts, but he especially hated them at 5:30. And all I remember is Fred Ellis calling me afterwards. So I'll turn the floor over to Fred.
I was going to class, and Lace had his TV, and he put it in his car. I was like, Lace, bro, where you going? He's like, oh, I'm about to do some laundry. I'm like, what you mean, laundry? He's like, yeah, bro, I'll be back. I just hit him. I was like, Mills, man, I don't know Lace coming back. He got his TV saying he's going to do laundry. I go to class. I come back. All the coaches in the living room holding hands, trying to pray. you know, Coach Tang. Please, Father God, please bless your hands over Lace. And I'm like, bro, I'm about to be late to class. Let me get up out of here. Lace was like, I ain't trying to hear this, man. I'm out of here.
So Tweety Carter, that our first McDonald's All-American, I see Tweety. And he's like, look, man, I don't think, you know, us Louisiana cats, we're a little different. I don't think you're gonna get him back. But Tweety Carter can finish the story because Tweety was the one who made it happen.
Yeah. Once I got wind of what he trying to do, I pulled up on him too. And like Fred said, he had everything in the car. I'm talking about everything in the car. The crazy thing is, before though, Fred, he pulled out the TV. When I pulled up on him, he trying to get the big TV in the car and he can't do it. And so he like, I'm like, where you going? He telling me he going to Temple. I'm like, bro, you're not going to Temple, bro. Like, ain't no way in the world you need all this to go to Temple. And so he telling me to help him get it in the car. So I'm like, I'm not helping you. I'm going to help you get it back in the house. You're not leaving him, you know? So long story short, like they saying, he just was trying to go home so bad. So I think I don't know if I called Coach Drew or talked to Coach Drew at the gym. I'm like, look, Coach, we either get him now. I mean, we either let him go home for a little bit now or lose for the season. What we going to do? And we need him right now. We need him because when he's on the court, he's amazing. But, you know, that was it. It was just funny to see him packed up and ready to go.
Man, the more we're the stories, man, Mills made everybody start crying. Come to the scene, you get tears in his eyes, make everybody start crying on the scene, bro.
but you know, Mills has permanent residency down in Monroe. Because when Lace went down there, Mills went down there after him, and he wasn't coming back.
Hey, this every summer though.
Weeks straight, yeah.
This every summer. This ain't changed. Every summer he packed every up ready to go somewhere else.
Hey, hey, Tweety. Tweety, go through why you – I want to try to keep it on point a little bit. So forgive me. I don't want to interrupt too much, but I want to – why did you go to Baylor? I mean, you had so many – I remember covering you through your recruiting process, and everybody was after you. Like they said, first McDonald's All-American. Why did you go to Baylor? And give me kind of any cool story you had of being recruited by these guys.
I mean, the recruiting process was consistent. Out of everybody, you know, Baylor, all the coaching staff, everybody was consistent with me, you know, my family, everything, you know, and that was big to me coming up. And the high school I went to, you know, was Reserve Christian. Wasn't, you know, we started getting better as the years went on. And, you know, I always wanted to be a part of a special program. I didn't want to be name after nobody. I didn't want to be compared to nobody. I wanted to go, you know, make my own lane and make my own path. And that's what Baylor presented for me. You know, they didn't promise me anything. It was just all about, you know, you're going to come in, have to work. And that's what I wanted. I didn't want no handouts or nothing like that. And the recruiting process was all about, you know, being true to yourself and, you know, loving God and knowing that, you know, this is what we're going to be about coming to Baylor. And that's really why I made a decision, you know, because I really wanted to be a part of a special program. And look where we at today.
Where are you now, Tweety?
I'm in Portugal right now.
All right. So you watched the game, right? You watched the game last week. So what was that like for you being in Portugal, kind of starting this program and getting it going? You know, what were the emotions as you're watching these guys win it all?
Well, I'm not going to say I started it, you know, like, you know,
you're guys integral.
Me that taught me a lot. Yeah. You know, I'm part of that. The older guys, you know, just coming up, helping out along the way. But, you know, everything we went through was just special. You know, to experience all the things that we experienced, you know, and to be where we at today, you know, to see a guy like Jared Butler, you know, do what he did this season, and yes, watching that game is just was a special moment, man. You know, to see him winning and hold up that trophy, everything, like I said, everything came down to just, you know, it's special. And that's what I wanted to be a part of. And like I said, we're here today.
I'll say this with Jared on here. I've covered a lot of players over the years. I've done this for what, how long? Since you were young. Since you were 15. All right. That's how long I've done this. I have never been around a better kid, human being than Jared Butler. I will say that to anybody. Wow. Like,
oh, yeah.
As special as it gets. I mean that, Jared. I will say that to anybody. You conduct yourself with the highest integrity, period. And I could not be happier for anybody than you cutting down the nets last week. I mean that.
I appreciate that. For real. Thank you.
Hey, Jeff. One thing I was going to tell you, all these guys overseas, what's amazing is they'll stay up all hours of the night watching our games and then text or leave a voice message or a video message. And it's amazing how much they stay in tune. And obviously, because of COVID, they couldn't come back this past summer. But all these guys that come in and when they get to Baylor, these guys, the vets come back and they work with them, develop a relationship. But overseas, I mean, they staying up all hours of the night to watch them. Like Freddie just texted and said, sorry, I'm on the bus going to the NBA game. Otherwise, I'd have been on the call. Yeah. And I mean, that's like he got the call up when we were going to the Final Four. And he's like, he was debating it for a second. So he's just like, no, you got to go now. You know?
Hey, where's Tang? Tang, where are you?
We'll get back to that interview in just a minute. But before we do, I need to tell you guys about a deal that our partners over DraftKings Sportsbook have cooked up. How many of you are NBA fans? I ask because for a limited time only, DraftKings is offering Field of 68 listeners and viewers a chance to turn $1 into $100 of free bets. This is how it works. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Deposit using the code FIELD68, this FIELD68, and then bet on one team to win. Any team, it doesn't matter who. If the team that you bet on hits a single three in that game, then your account will be credited with $100 in free bets. How simple is that? They are giving away money. So go do it. Now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code FIELD68 when you do. Make a bet on an NBA game. When the team that you bet on hits a three, you win $100 in free bets. What are you waiting for? The offer is only available for a limited time, and it's only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Coach Tang,
we might have lost Tang.
Can you hear me?
Tang, you there?
Yeah, yeah, I'm in. There you I'm are. In the car.
How was the interview? How was the interview, Tang?
Everything's going moving along right now.
Good. Give me a good story from when you guys started about Scott. Anything funny? Anything you know that you'll always remember when you guys first got it going?
Yeah. So I was a high school coach, and I come to Baylor, and you know where we were at. Like, if you stayed at when I had Heritage, if we stayed at a Motel 6, we was doing well, right? And so it's my first recruiting trip with coach, and so I got to book the hotel. And like all the hotels are like $100 and something. Now that was like astronomical to me at the time. And so I'm trying to find the cheapest hotel that's not too bad. And I find a Holiday Inn, right? And so me and coach, we're like at 6 gyms. We have to do a home visit with Chamberlain Gucci. But apparently, like, he didn't tell his mama. And so she wouldn't let us in the house. We did the home visit on the hood of the car with the kids. And so it's a long day, and we get to the hotel. It's a Holiday Inn. The carpet is sticky as we're walking in, and you know we're in the airport. And he says, "Hey, you know, Tang, if you want to like find a hotel that's you know $100 and something, as long as it's not crazy, you know, it's around $100 or higher, we'll be all right with that, man." I was just terrified just to spend the money on recruiting. And so we sit down in the hotel, Jeff, and all of a sudden he says, "Oh no." And I said, "Oh no, what?" He said, "Today's my anniversary, I forgot." No. I said, bruh, this was not on my watch. I didn't know, that's Moore's fault. This is not my fault. but we never forgot the anniversary again. I put it in my phone and we always make sure we remind him.
And he has it.
Hey, Coach Tank, tell Jeff the story about Oklahoma in the locker room after we lost. I've never seen Coach Drew. The first time I ever seen Coach Drew get upset.
This joke is on the bench, right? He keep asking me why the guys are upset, like they pouting coming off the floor, right? And so he keeps asking, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? So after the game, we get our butts handed to us, and I'm in the locker room, and I was like, "Hey, Coach, you want to know why the dudes are pouting? It's because we let them pout in practice." He said, "Well, you should have told me that effing thing before this thing started." It's the first time. It's the first time I'd ever heard him cuss. Like he dropped the F bomb, and he said, "I'll do my push up." And he walked out to go talk to the team, and Driss taps me on the arm. He says, "Hey man, the next time you want to say something, run it by me first. All right, before you ask you say anything."
I did my push ups. I did my push ups.
He did do his push ups.
Classic.
Hey, we got Isaiah Austin on here. I know I saw Isaiah a minute ago. Isaiah, you were as highly recruited as anybody in the country. Give me the story of why you chose Baylor and what that recruitment was like.
Really, it just went like, okay, so I moved to Texas when I was going into the eighth grade. And, you know, I wasn't really, you know, a talented basketball player at that time. You know, I was just tall and everybody was just like, "Oh, this new kid that moved in, he's 6'8" in the eighth grade." And I just remember, you know, sitting in the corner of my little worldly gym, you know, was Baylor University. And like, as I started getting better and as I started, you know, becoming a high recruited player, I just always left that in my mind. I was like, well, you know, when nobody really knew of me, you know, Baylor was always there in the beginning, you know, and I got to know, you know, Coach Drew and Coach Tang, Coach Mills on a personal level coming up to my decision to committing to Baylor. And I just knew that, you know, I knew that I could trust them. You know, I told them about my eye situation before anybody else in the country knew. And really, that's what tied into me going to Baylor. You know, I knew that I could trust those guys, keep my secret, and they believed in me. You know, it didn't matter if I had a handicap or anything. That, you know, they told me that I could be one of the greatest players that Baylor has ever seen. And, you know, that stuck with me. So that's really what tied into me going into Baylor.
You know, he was a valedictorian too, Jeff. He was an excellent student. Wow.
So I went to watch Zeke when he was in the eighth grade, and the eighth grade coach didn't want me to come in. And I said, listen, I'll walk in the back door and be very discreet. I'll go up to the top of the bleachers. Nobody will ever see me. And I walk in, it's a junior high practice, and Isaiah runs all the way over. Like, Coach Mills, good to see you. And the practice shuts down. And I said, man, I'll never be welcomed here again. But I knew that we were in a good position with Zeke, and we were obviously privileged to coach him.
So I know we got a lot of guys who are on the first team. You know, year one on here. Matt Samen, you know, what was it like year one?
Year one was interesting, to say the least. I think I was always blown away with how much energy and joy that these coaches showed us, even though they really didn't have a lot to work with at that time.
Come on, Matt. You're selling yourself short here.
Well, Terrence Thomas was a really good player. That's true. R.T. Gwynn was a really good player. And then the rest of us were – and Harvey Thomas. The rest of us were pretty much role players. So I kind of joke around my wife all the time, all these Baylor teams that have been out the last decade. I tell her the truth is, like, I would be a very, very good manager on this team. That's what – I would crush it in managing on this team.
Any other – Tommy Swanson, Terrence, anybody got any good stories from that first year that would kind of – you know, take us back to what Scott inherited.
Hey, before you go, Tommy, we did have the best meal ever, and that was at a Pops's restaurant. I remember that.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. No, it was definitely a team bonding experience from the jump. With, like Matt said, the coach's energy, it helped the morale with all that we went through, and those. Those morning workouts was any everything that it was built to be. We anticipated it being hard. Coach said from the jump, we got to be the best conditioned team in the country because everybody's minutes skyrocketed. So, you know, we fought against each other, made each other better, you know, months even before the season started. And, you know, it was just pretty much we were a starving dog. You know, we were eating at each other throughout the preseason, so let us loose on these other teams so we can take it out on them.
I got a question. When did the morning workout stop, Coach Drew?
I was never a big fan of the morning workouts. Yeah, I finally convinced their staff.
After I left. Hey, Jeff, here's a good story about Matt and Tommy. You know, we didn't know what was going on, and we took over, obviously, whatever we took over. Coach and them got their apartments first, and they said, Drisk, you can come stay with us if you want. And I said, no, I'm away from my family. I'm just going to sleep in the office. I'd put the coat on the door. I'd lock the office door. I'd go in my office. I'd shut my door, and I'd put a chair under it, and then I'd sleep on the couch. And one day, Tommy and Matt took a brick of fireworks and put it on my outside window seal because our offices were on the ground level, and lit a brick of fireworks, and it went right off inside my window and scared the living pajeezies out of me. And at that point, we knew that we had some dudes that were going to be in it no matter what. We only had seven of them, and obviously we had our walk-on scenario, but we had some dudes that were going to be all in and that were truly, truly convinced that this was going to be a situation that was going to be good.
All right. So I want to know from those guys, I tell people this all the time. When I first met Scott, I was like, come on, this dude can't be real. Like, there's no way he can be. He cannot be this positive all the time. This has got to be an act. Like that first year, are you guys thinking the same thing early? And then it took you a little while to realize, like, no, this is him.
I was waiting for him to change because I thought this is just it's too much from the beginning. And in the situation we're in, like, I know, like, cameras were rolling a lot early on, but I thought at some point things will they'll calm down, they'll forget about us, and then these guys will go back to normal. And over the years, I've had the pleasure of being able to tell people that they're legit, they're the real deal. What you see is what you get with them.
What else you got, though?
know, I heard a story. My dad told me a story about you and babysitting and how your wife will never let you babysit again because something with you going in the closet. What's that story?
Well, a lot of these guys are now dads, and I hope they're better at watching their little ones than I am, because one of these guys on the phone call, I must have been recruiting. And when I was on the phone, I was distracted. So I'm in the closet trying to get some peace and quiet. And we have a little bitty window out the closet, right? And I see my Brody, which they know Brody's, he's wired like me. He's running out. He must have been three with diapers on, heading toward the street. And at that point, my life flashed in front of me because I knew my wife was going to kill me. So anyway, these guys are much better parents than I am. I know that. So,
hey, Jared.
Hey, wait, can you ask Mamadou what it was like when he first got here? Ask Coach Driscoll or one of them what he showed up with and how they helped him with the water, with the shaving, with everything.
Hello? 190 pounds, Coach. He walked in the office. I remember that.
197.
197.
I apologize. Hey.
Five peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every night.
I was too busy winning.
Tell about the water and the shaving.
I was too busy winning. We just finished the game.
Hey, Jeff. Hold on. Hey, Jeff. He showed up 197, had malaria twice. Okay? That's why he couldn't come earlier. Malaria twice, 197, bag in hand, ready leaves to go play Kansas. And Coach Drew says, should we play him tonight?
I got a good story about Dew. So Dew was my first roommate. One of my first roommates, and I went in the locker room one time. All the lights were off in the shower. Dew is in the shower, shivering, freezing, and he's got all the cold water on. I said, "Dew, what are you doing, man?" He goes, "Jeff, go." I was like, "You know you can turn the hot water on, right, man?" He's like, "Zip up a pizza. Come on, man." I turned it up for him. He's like, "Thank you, Jeff. Thank you." I turned the lights on for him too. He was sitting there in the cold shower. But I loved it. We would go to Wendy's all the time. He put on like 50 pounds that first year. And taught him a bit of English as well.
Where's Lace? Are you still on here?
Yo, I'm still here.
All right, Lace. So everybody kind of made fun of you there for putting the TV and loading up. And trying to go home. What was your highlight of your career? I mean, what do you remember the most of your Baylor stint?
Man, it's so much, to be honest. It's so much, man. I got so many stories. It's crazy. But main thing, man, just being able to be around a great group of guys, great group of coaches, and a great group of players. That was my main thing, was being able to come there and just build a bond with some guys and build a brotherhood with some guys that'll last forever still to this day. So that was really my main thing. But other than that, like they say, man, on 5 a.m., I wasn't feeling them at all. I wasn't feeling
Hey, Jeff, Coach Mills or someone, tell them about the scouting report we happened to find that one day.
Kansas State.
Yeah, it was actually a booster that we had brought on, and I think he says he stumbled upon it. I actually think he went in the Kansas State locker room and started mulling around. Long story short, he finds a scouting report. And I remember Tweety and Lace see it, and it's like, they can't do this, they can't do this. Now, mind you, I mean, Lace is the Big 12's all-time leading scorer until Buddy passed him by like 5 or 6 points. And the more you would tell Tweety and Lace, we would call them the Louisiana Animals. And the more you would tell Tweety and Lace they couldn't do something, the more you were in trouble. And I think Lace had 28 at the half on K-State. And he was like, now tell me what I can't do. And we would get to a point to where we started making up scouting reports and placing them in other team locker rooms. And we'd be like, Lace, look at this scouting report from Texas Tech. It says that you can't go left. And we just started making up stuff after that because we realized.
6 points later.
And he went for 38 as a freshman at Texas Tech. And he eventually got to where the point where he's just like, stop telling me that stuff. I can do whatever I want. So But yeah, Lason, Tweedy were obviously great to coach.
Who's got some good Scott Drew stories? Who's got, again, we don't have to bash him here, but I want some good stories, funny stories, something that people wouldn't know.
I got a good story.
All right, go ahead, Isaiah.
All right. So after my freshman year, man, you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, I had a lot of characteristic problems coming into Baylor. You know, I was really egotistical and everything like that. So it's my freshman year. I ended up tearing my labrum in a workout, and I was planning on going to the NBA draft. And, you know, Coach Drew, I forgot who was all there. I know Coach Drew was there. Coach Tang was there. I think Coach Mills was there. We was at Ray Forsett house. And this is what really just, you know, brought to light how good of a man Coach Drew was. You know, I didn't find out until later, until after I left Baylor and after I, you know, lost all my ego and everything. But, you know, they didn't want me to come back to Baylor, you know. So we had a whole meeting. Like, I had till midnight that night to declare to the draft, and I had just torn my labrum. And they were like, you know, like, if you're going to come back to Baylor, man, like, you got to change your lifestyle. You got to change how you're going to be as a better player. You know what I'm saying? We just want you to be a better man and all. And, you know, I really took that to heart. You know, that really showed me how, you know, kind and generous and, you know, how genuine Coach Drew and the staff was at Baylor. You know, they really showed that they care for me, you know. And, you know, I was an a-hole. You know, you could ask any of my teammates in freshman year. We ran 17s every day in practice because of me, because I couldn't watch my mouth, because I was cussing people out. You know, I was cussing at the coaches, this and that. But, you know, they showed me that they cared enough for me that they wanted to actually sit me down and tell me about myself, to show me that I can grow as a man, grow as a person, grow as a basketball player off the court. So we had a whole conversation at Ray Forsett's house, and Pops was there and everybody. And I ended up, you know, they wrote up this little mini fake contract for me saying that if I were to, you know, cuss or anything in practice, you know, that the team would kick me off the team. And, you know, I really took that personal, and I wanted to change myself. And that's when I was like, okay, you know, I am somebody that I don't want to be when I grow up. So I really took that to heart, and that really just showed me, you know, how genuine Coach Drew and the staff was at Baylor. So, you know, I'll never forget that night. And I ended up coming back to Baylor my sophomore year. I didn't have as great as a year at Baylor as I did my freshman year, but it totally completely changed me, like 360 as a man. So Coach Drew, you know, Coach Tang, Coach Mills, I don't think I've ever told y'all this to y'all face, but I really do appreciate y'all, man. You guys really did change my life in a dramatic and drastic way. So thank you for that. So that's just one story that I have about, you know, Coach Drew and company that'll be with me for the rest of my life.
You went serious on us there, Isaiah. I thought you were going to go funny, man. That was now, heavy.
Hey, Quincy, AC, tell them about the prom and about church.
Before Q goes, Quincy AC was friends with DeMarcus Cousins, right? You know, he was in the league. And I remember Quincy came to a practice, and I remember he said, man, Isaiah's going to have trouble in the NBA. And I remember thinking, like, man, you're friends with DeMarcus Cousins, and if you think he's going to have trouble, it's serious. go ahead, Q.
What's up, y'all? Yeah, so I graduated prom 2008, and I had planned on going to prep school following high school because, you know, my AAU coach wanted me to kind of play an extra year, but – you know, Baylor, I did well in the camp that I was at, I think out in Philly. And, I mean, from there, they was like, you're ready, you know, come now. So, you know, it was kind of full court press from there. But I had just had prom. And, so that was Saturday night. And then they said they were going to come to church the next morning. So, I'm enjoying my prom that night, you know. But I got to get up early and go to church. The whole gang's there, Coach Tang, Coach Mills, and Driscoll, Coach Drew. And I think Coach Tang got on stage and pretty much said a whole sermon.
Yeah.
And that was – my uncle was a pastor at the church. And, you know, the church was a very family-oriented church. So, you know, my whole family fell in love right there that day. So I couldn't say.
You remember what you hey Q, do you remember what happened when you took the promo?
Did I lose you?
Remember what you drove to prom that night?
Oh yeah, my uncle's Hummer.
Yeah. And next day, Jeff, they were saying that we was illegally recruiting, giving them a Hummer. He came with a Hummer to church.
School in our conference turned us in, said that we had bought Quincy AC a Hummer.
They turned us in, said we bought him a Hummer.
My uncle's still mad about that to this day.
I won't say the player's name, but we all went to another church service one time and they kept passing the plate by us like three or four times. Wanting to know how come we weren't depositing more money. And the player, we didn't end up getting that player, but on to many church services before Quincy's obviously that one worked out.
Yeah, that one. Y'all did y'all thing. Coach Tang, you caught the Holy Ghost up there and my whole family fell in love. Oh, God.
All right, we got Matt Meyer on the Matt. You on there?
Whoa, an echo. Matt. He got the best shades.
No, he's coming back in. Hold on. Here he comes. He's coming in with his mullet. There he is. Matt, you there? Hold on. He's got his shades on. Shades, mullet, trying to connect right now. Matt, you got us? All right, we'll get back to him later if he can figure this thing out. I don't know.
He's studying, Jeff. Don't worry about him. What?
He's studying. Oh, yeah. He's studying so hard.
What, y'all talking about me?
Yeah, we're talking about you.
What was the question?
There was no question, Matt. Zero question. We were just making fun of you. That's okay. It.
I got logged out. My fault. I'm still tuned into these stories, though.
No, you're good. Give us something. I mean, you got to have some good stories. You're a national champ now. You got everybody there. What are you at a pool?
Yeah, we're at the pool.
Tough life. Tough life.
It's good living the natty champ life. Thanks to Coach Drew.
There you go. So give us your best Coach Drew story. You got one?
Man, well, this isn't necessarily a story, but like just during the coronavirus thing or the shutdown, Coach Drew was working me out every day. I come in, I'm tired from the workout the day before. This dude is just clapping his hands, putting on dubstep music, and all right, let's go. And I'm just like, I'm not ready for this right now. And he'd kill me for 40 minutes straight, but I mean, that helped me a lot for sure. I mean, that's just kind of his energy. Y'all know Coach Drew.
Hey, Jeff, they learned jock jams during the COVID shutdown. Because
for real. Yeah.
The older guys from 2003, 2004, they tell you all about jock jams, but these new guys, they got no clue about jock jams.
What is that?
Jock jams and Rocky.
Yeah.
Trilogy. Yeah. The trilogy.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Is it crazy? Anybody can jump in here, but the energy that this staff brings, whether it's Drew, whether it was Mills, Driscoll obviously has it, everybody, the energy these dudes bring and the positivity is something that I've never seen of any staff anywhere at any level. Anybody?
Go ahead, Jake.
Okay, Jake.
I mean, y'all just don't shut up the whole game, so I had to go find a spot by Charlie at the end of the bench. So I figured that about halfway through my freshman year. I was like, man, Coach Drew and Coach Stane, they're going to yell the whole game. So I got DC and Charlie to get me a spot at the end of the bench so that I didn't have to hear it the whole game. But, I mean, you can't argue with the results. So.
We'll get back to that interview in just a minute, but before we do, I need to tell you guys about a deal that our partners over DraftKings Sportsbook have cooked up. How many of you are NBA fans? I ask because for a limited time only, DraftKings is offering Field of 68 listeners and viewers a chance to turn $1 into $100 of free bets. This is how it works. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Deposit using the code FIELD68, this FIELD68, and then bet on one team to win. Any team, it doesn't matter who. If the team that you bet on hits a single three in that game, then your account will be credited with $100 in free bets. How simple is that? They are giving away money. So go do it. Now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code FIELD68 when you do. Make a bet on an NBA game. When the team that you bet on hits a three, you win $100 in free bets. What are you waiting for? The offer is only available for a limited time, and it's only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. I need one of the players or Coach Driscoll to tell the slap story.
Thank you for bringing that up.
You talking about when Tweety slapped Coach Tang?
No. Did he really? Tweety smack Coach Tang?
I want to hear that one.
No. I dodged that shot. We were slapped.
My fault, Tweety.
Tweety, you messed up.
Tweety got some hands, though. That joke is fast.
Tweety, you missed.
Coach Drew had some stuff he did. Like, we ran the stadium steps at Oklahoma State, and we used the wrestling room at Nebraska.
In the winter.
We did all kind of things we could possibly do to
– cold showers.
Cold showers in Hawaii before the game, banging on the garbage can, obviously. So, Coach Moorfield was with Coach longer than anyone at Valpo. So we come in the locker room before the game, and Coach Moorfield always stood in the same place. And I noticed that he wasn't there. And I got a little bit concerned because Coach he's very, very, very ritual about things. He likes things to be a certain way. So I thought I should probably go up and stand there so at least there's a coach standing where Coach Moorfield was. Well, Coach Moorfield was setting me up, and I didn't know it. So I go up and stand. We get done. Coach says, hey, everybody stand up and get across from one another. So he said, Driss, stand right here. So it was me and Coach, and then everybody lined up two lines, obviously looking at each other. He's like, I don't like our energy. We got to get ready to go. We got to just follow me. Follow my lead. And he literally smacks me right across the face with his hand. And I mean smack me. And as soon as he does, I pull back like this. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, go ahead, hit me. And I'm like, Coach, I'm not going to hit you. No, we got to get ready. We got to go. Go ahead, hit me. So I'm like, okay. So I like, whatever, smack him, or I don't hit him like him. He hits me again. So bam, smacks me again. I'm like, man, hey, Joker going to smack me. I'm smacking him. Next thing you know, everybody was doing it. We went out, warmed up, and we got beat by Stephen F. Austin, I think it was.
What's it like for some of you other guys, older dudes, to watch what just happened? Like, did you ever think this could possibly happen, winning a national title? I know teams got close with an Elite Eight twice, but there's a difference between cutting down the nets twice here and winning a national title.
I can speak on that. Can I speak on that?
Yeah.
Honestly, because I'm the elder statesman of the group. You see what I'm saying? You know how I do. I'm top five.
Top two.
I'm really one of the sexiest dudes to ever play in Coach Drew's system. Mama Dude, Fred, Josh Lomas. We are the sexiest dudes ever playing the program. So, honestly, the year that Duke cheated us, we supposed to went to the Final Four. We all know that. That was a block. Quincy AC make the end when we up by 7. Coach K go home. They cheated us. But with this group, I think it was a special group because they all shared the ball. They played defense, rebound, and played together. That's, you know, being one of the older players, that's what I'm really proud about. And I'm also proud about all the guys from Tweety to Lace to everybody that's on here. Man, I'm really proud of y'all for doing what y'all do off the court and on the court, man. Like, just continue to play basketball, keep God first, and just stay on their neck, man. Don't stop till the wheels fall out, because I'm so proud of y'all guys, man.
From respect, OG.
Getting the first team to seeing how everything is now, man, I'm so proud of y'all. I'm pretty sure all the guys that played in my era, we so proud of y'all because we knew how far we've come to this point. So we so proud of y'all, man. Just continue to keep doing what y'all do. And if y'all ever just get out of line, youngins, Tweety, Lay, I'm telling you, Isaiah, we ready to lace them up. Give us 45 minutes to stretch. We ain't gonna put the thing in the basket,
45 minutes to stretch.
I don't think Jared and Matt are too worried.
Tall T is nice. I'm, you know, we've seen her come in and talk trash and back it up, so we know we got to be on point.
Hey, right me before I go, man. I told y'all, y'all got me up late. Mia's gonna text me say, yeah. Hold you for 5 minutes. It has been 55 minutes. But yeah, man. For me, I just want to congratulate the guys, man. It was amazing just watching it from over here, just keeping up with everything that I can keep up with, man. It was amazing. The whole ride, y'all just had me feeling like I was there, bro, to be honest. I'm up 3:30 in the morning. I'm up 4 a.m. I'm catching games, you know what I'm saying? Just tapping in. So from me to y'all, I just want to congratulate everybody from Drew all the way down to the last player, last management. Man, y'all had me feeling like I was there. Y'all gave me a feeling, bro, and just got me right now feeling like I really was a part of that moment. You know, just seeing y'all, the confetti coming down, everybody going crazy. Y'all had me turned up at like 5 a.m. I ain't going to sleep till like 6 a.m. Had practice at 12, so I'm up all morning turned up with y'all, man. So once again, man, congrats to y'all. Y'all did what y'all supposed to been did, man. Y'all was special, man. I appreciate it.
Love you, cool. Get some sleep.
Hey, I'm out, man. I'm a holler at y'all, man. Y'all stay.
All right, cool.
Congrats to y'all young boys, man. Y'all enjoy, man. Be safe. Ciao. All right.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I'm going to go ahead on and you know, man, it's just was special, you know, like, OG said, man, from them, you know, paving the way for us. You know, when I came on a visit, it was just like, you know, it was always all love. And to see those guys continue to support me and the other players throughout my career and their career, you know, it was only right to give it back to these young guys. You know, whether they wanted to hear it or not, you know, I thought they really wanted to get better every single day, like each and every one of them. Anytime I was in the gym, you know, me and Matt would play one-on-one all majority of the time, you know, ask questions. Like, all of them would ask at least one question a day if I'm in there, you know, and to see them continue to want to grow and to see them, you know, go perform that way, you know, credit to the coaching staff for sure, you know, but, you know, between the lines, those players, man, they fought together. They had each other back. They didn't back down, you know, and when the losses that they did have, it was together. Like, you didn't – And that's my biggest thing with them. You know, they stayed together throughout everything. The whole summer was all about building, all about getting better. And you've seen it throughout the year, throughout their play. You know, they wanted to win every single game. No matter who they was playing, they believed in themselves. And that was the goal, you know, to make sure that they know that they belong. And look where we at today, man, to go from winning a certain amount of games a year to winning the national championship. And you asked the question if we ever thought it was possible. Yes. That's why we went, you know, we just couldn't complete it, you know, and that's why the program continued to build because of guys that was before me setting the tone. And, you know, Aaron Bruce, I remember coming on a visit, playing him one-on-one, like just playing. And when I tell you it was tough. I was like, I got to come back and learn something. I got to come back with something else, you know, but to see those guys cut down that net, man, like everybody's saying, it just was a blessing to be a part of it. And, you know, credit to them, man. I know, you know, we all saying, you know, everybody paved the way, man, but to make it that far and to cut down that net and hold up that trophy, man, it's big respect for them because they deserve it. And I seen the hard work.
King's got to go. You want to say something, King, before you roll?
What is that, coach?
You want to say something before you have to go?
Yeah. I'm about to play in the game with TJ, K-Raj, and Mario. And we back where we back where it all started. How I put this camera. Matter of fact, I'll just show you at AAA where you came and recruited me at, coach.
That's great.
But now I just want to say you deserve it all. Just everything you did with me personally, with my heart disease, and how you just persistent. And you just would not take no for an answer. That meant a lot to me. I never really told you this, but thank you. Like, it meant a lot. You, in a sense, you saved my life. So I just want to say thank you. If anybody deserves all this success and everything, you and the staff, because what y'all did for me, UDC,
Coach Tang, everybody. Y'all were definitely in, like, one of the hardest moments of my life. So I want to say thank y'all, and y'all deserve all of this. I love y'all, for real.
Love you, too. Get some dubs on them jokers.
For sure. Like, I got to get ready. The game started in 5 minutes. I ain't even stretched yet. You know I'm getting old.
Yeah, definitely stretch.
All right,
take care.
Can you 25?
Hey, Jeff, David Chandler is the one that took care of all these guys for all those years. And DC, you want to add anything about these guys? What makes them so special?
Well, I didn't take care of all of them, but for 12 seasons, I was the athletic trainer. But kind of what I wanted to say is I've been a Baylor fan all my life. I'm 59, and I started going to Baylor football games when I was 2 years old. So I've been a fan all my life. I've worked at Baylor for 33 years. And you asked the question, can you believe this happened? And yes, I can believe it. But did I think it was going to ever happen? I'm not so sure as a longstanding Baylor fan. And I'm appreciative of Coach Drew and what all these guys have done to get us to this point. And I live in Denver now, and I'm flying my Baylor flag out front of my house, and it's great. My oldest son was at the Denver City Park yesterday, and he wore a Baylor basketball shirt. And he said every person he passed by commented on Baylor basketball. So just as a Baylor guy, and right now I'm a fundraiser, this is just great for Baylor. I appreciate what Coach Drew and all these guys have done. It's just so special. I think this is the greatest athletic moment in Baylor history, and that's my opinion. Other people might disagree, but I just really think that's true. And everybody on this call has a place in that, and that's what's special about this program.
You know, Coach
Mill, I remember as a player early on, Coach Drew said it was one of his goals to have kids wearing Baylor shirts, just like they would wear a Duke shirt. And that's starting to happen. That's really going to happen now.
The big ones with the Baylor letters that they used to wear in the games.
Yes.
You couldn't miss them. Bright, the biggest letters you could ever find. Whose idea was that?
I think that was Coach Driscoll's. His eyes were he was the oldest one, and they were getting a little bad. So he said,
yeah. Man, you guys Drew, showed up.
Hey, Jeff, Coach Drew actually said that. Mark is actually 100% accurate. He said that we'll just have the same. If you look back, that font and that shirt has been around for 18 plus years. And he said that one day it'll be something that has more significance that people will realize. And it's come to fruition.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I remember being in gyms and not knowing you guys first. And I'm like, who are these clowns? They got these big shirts on. They're bright. They're three deep right next to each other. I'm like, man, who are these guys? And man, you guys were everywhere. Like, that's the one thing that always stuck out to me was, and I don't know if you guys want to talk about this as players or coaches or whatever, but it would be like you guys would beat somebody for a dude. And every time it would be like they cheated. And every time it would be because you outworked them. Like, but they couldn't admit it because it was Baylor. Right, because it was Baylor and you guys hadn't done anything, and it didn't just happen with you, but back then you were the biggest culprit of it because nobody could admit with pride that you beat him for a player because you outworked him.
Hey, we got Henry Dugat, and we worked our tail off to get Henry. And Coach Drew, Bryce got married, and Coach Drew couldn't go to Vegas, so Coach Tang and I did Vegas alone. And when we got there to get the rental car, they said that it was an extra $10 to get the GPS. And we're like, man, we can't spend an extra $10. So I had this Microsoft program. And what we did is we got every single direction. We printed it out. We typed it out on the computer. And we had a hand script of where we were going, the way in which we were going. And because we did it, when we were watching this kid with Russell Springman, Coach Mills. And when Russell left the gym, Coach Tang and I left the same way out because we knew he was going to see Henry because Texas was trying to get him. We went out the other way. And because we knew so many back roads because of this Randy McNally thing, we actually beat him. And he walked in the gym and we're leaning against the wall and he comes walking in And he's like, you just see, he gave us that look like, man, how'd y'all beat me here? So it was intense now. Recruiting was intense now.
Well, Jeff, I don't know if you remember this, but it's kind of the Jerome Tang rule the NCAA put in place that you couldn't stand along the wall anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Tang would go in, and, I mean, you couldn't tell him anything, especially when we went to the tournament in 08. And so we just wanted as big a shirt as possible. And the NCAA said they outlawed it, but we've always called it the Jerome Tang rule. But that was
Beeline was mad, Coach Mills. Remember that? Coach Beeline was mad. Oh no.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Why y'all moving those chairs? Why can't you just sit in the chairs?
He used to get so upset anytime in Vegas when somebody was standing in front of the doorway.
That was
us. It'd be like a level one.
Yeah, that was us.
Tally, you had a question?
I did. So, Coach Mills, you know, I'm pretty sure you were sitting in the stands for the win. What was it like, you know, after all this, to see Coach Drew finally win that national title?
Yeah, I think for all of Baylor, I cried. It was unbelievable. Just, you know, because I tell people that outside of my wife and my parents, I mean, I've been with Scott Drew and Jerome Tang for, you know, 14 years. And so, I mean, they're third on my list. You're just with those guys every day, but you're very familiar with all of the players and their stories. I mean, we ended up losing in the Sweet 16. I don't know that we could have beaten Baylor. I definitely would have liked to try, but I can tell you this, when they run line, well, we run line too. So our players would have known when they run 22 on the zone offense, we run 22. And our guys would have been really prepared because what they do, we obviously have some similarities. But I'll tell you, I was sitting with Grant McCaslin at North Texas, sitting with Coach Driscoll. We all, the first thing we said, we like, man, Coach Drew has got to send DC, David Chandler, a ring first, because everybody will tell you that the training room is kind of where all the talk and everything goes, and DC was able to navigate that. But I was just so happy for DC. I was happy for so many people. More importantly, the players at Baylor, the coaching staff at Baylor, and all that they've invested. But I was pretty depressed after losing a 2-point game to Arkansas, but watching that happen, it's picked me up a little bit, but yeah, it's a special feeling.
By the way, Jeff, when we were talking about people beating people to the gym, and you know, Drisk had to have directions in the shortcut. If Mills would have beat someone in the gym, no one would have questioned why. All right. He's the guy flying down the highway. Everyone knows about, you know, for the record.
Yeah. By the way, do we now that, when we did the podcast 3 weeks ago and we made Mills tell the story, the Kevin Bacon story, and it froze, by the way, at the right time. He had to go retell. Everybody asked him about it, you know, again and again and again, all the other reporters. And it softened every time he told it. It softened a little bit more on the Millsometer. So I don't even know if it – like, was Kevin Bacon even in that barbershop?
I've told those guys, y'all aren't getting Hollywood after me, so you have to stop telling this story. I am not here to make enemies.
Good move. Very, very, very good move.
Hey, Jeff, can I share one other one?
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Jake Lindsey and his dad, Dennis, have been having some fun with some Big 12 players on their team. Can you ask them what they've been doing?
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, so we have George Niang, who took special delight in torching us at Iowa State. Doka Azubuike, who we all remember what he did to us in Waco. We recently added Matt Thomas to the team. So we took the special pleasure in creating a group text. And after every Baylor win, after the numerous Iowa State losses, they got a text and got to hear all about it. We got special made shirts from Coach Drew, with Azubuike and Niang on the back. They were in their lockers, and now they're hanging in our Jazz facility. So as soon as we get a banner, that's going to fly. And then as soon as me and Dennis get our rings, we're going to, you know, let George and Doak and Matt deal with that flight. You know.
be ruthless with George. So,
oh man,
just so you know, George actually came over here and Taya kicked his butt in ping pong a few years
ago. I was like 12. I think I was like 12. Yeah,
crushed him. So he stinks at ping pong. Iowa State stinks right now, so it's rough on George. Luckily, you guys.
It was a tough year for George, but he's playing good. And, yes. Jazz are doing well, so
George is the best. Anybody else that kind of wants to jump in now before we start to wrap? I know we've got an hour. I said it would be about an hour, but I'm good as long as you guys are. So, again, any other thoughts? Any other stories? You know, to me again, I'll say this, for me, it was emotional watching a week ago. It really was. And I don't know if I told you this, Scott, but like, you know, standing there with your brother and dad, you know, with your wife, with your kids right there. It was really emotional for me because I could see the pride that your kids had in you and your wife had tears going down her face. And like, that's what it's all about, right? Like, and I know what you've gone through. I know the road, and I know how positive you've been, but I know it hasn't been easy, right? I know what you took over. I was covering recruiting then. I knew. I've covered college basketball. I know what people said about you in terms of, like, he can't coach. He can only recruit. And, like, that's the coolest part of all of this. And I know you're not a guy to be like, hey, well, I showed him. That's not you. But, man, like, it was kind of cool. And I'm sure a lot of people on this call feel the same way as I do. It's pretty cool now for you to be able to say, like, yeah, I won a national title. Like, I'm one of the greatest coaches now in college basketball. And you can't ever take that away. And what you did building this program, not rebuilding it, because there was nothing like you built it. You built this program. You all did. So, anyway, that is my two cents.
Hey Jeff, I love your hat. You look great in it, but I think everyone in this call will tell you, right, Coach Jacobs, because I always say it all the time, it's never an I, it's always a we, and everybody on this call, it's a we thing. So, Coach Jacobs, Coach P, you guys haven't said anything. You guys got anything to share? You know, Coach Jacobs, him and Isaiah, all of them mornings together. I know you're proud of how Isaiah finished his career and, man, he's become. So, go ahead, Coach Jacobs.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was the guy who Isaiah kicked the balls at, swore at, and chucked everything at every morning at 7 a.m. But I loved him, and he's one of the most important guys in my life. I can say this about Coach Drew. He pretends like he's all what you're saying, Jeff, but he's not. This year, you know, we split the teams up, and we play 5-on-5, and Coach Tang and I are on one side, and Coach A.B. and Coach Drew are on the other. And for a week, Coach Tang and I beat those two every day. And it wasn't even close in practice. Like, we killed them. So we split the guys up in half, and he took the starters. And it's the first day that everybody on the team knew who was going to start and who wasn't. So AB and I, we got all the guys that weren't going to start for that day. And they're crying, and they're pissing and moaning, and they're upset. And, of course, Coach Drew wins every game by 20 that day.
He referees. And,
at the end of it, he walks over. What's that?
He referees. That's why.
No. He plays until he wins the last game. He cheats with the referees. And at the end of the time, when he won every game by 20, because all the upset guys that weren't going to start were on our side, he walked over to me and he said, "Hey, Coach Jacobs, how do you like that 20-point loss?" So, like, the outside perception, he is the nicest bully that you have ever met when it comes to winning. And you don't go from where Baylor was to where Baylor is if you don't, like, really love winning. And maybe the most underrated thing about this is he knows what a good player looks like and hates to lose. And he will rub both in your face when he gets both. And I actually love that about him.
Coach P, what do you got?
I think the one thing I'd say, Jeff, that a lot of people don't take into account is that very few coaches can change. Okay, they don't adapt. They are who they are. As you well know, you cover college basketball a long time. A lot of head coaches have huge egos, okay? And it's that way in the NBA too.
Yeah, you may be right. You may think you know what you're talking about, but that head coach has an ego and he's not going to listen. All right. Yeah, I've done this. I've been here. You're brand new. I experienced that when I was in the NBA with the Bucks a lot. But what I was going to say, we lost my first year here. I've been here 4 years. We lost in the NIT. We didn't make the NCAA tournament, and Mississippi State beat us on a fluke shot. It was unbelievable, kid. We scored. Manu LeConte scored a layup with 6 seconds to go. They came down. I can't remember who shot it, but he shot it and went straight up in the air. And no way it's going in. Well, it dropped down. We lost the game at the buzzer. He made a three, so we lost by one. Well, after that time, he visited with Coach Tang and some of the other coaches on the staff. We played about half zone and half man. And he changed. He said, we're going to play all man. We're going to keep the ball on the side of the floor. We're going to really pressure. We're going to be physical. And it changed the total concept of how we played and a little bit how we recruited. And a lot of head coaches wouldn't do that. He'd been to two Elite Eights. Why should I change? And, you know, that shows a lot for the man and how much he wanted to win and what he was willing to do. And when he did it, I mean, we all had a vote. He lets everybody vote on the staff. And, I'll tell you now, I was like 50-50. I just don't know if it's going to work. But we were really fortunate to go to Italy, and we did it all summer before the Italy trip and practice and in Italy. And you can see the difference it's made in our team after he did that. And a lot of people wouldn't do that, you know.
I feel like he's always learning. Scott, every time I would sit next to you at an AU event, kind of no matter who was on the other side of us as a coach, like I remember one time it was Billy Donovan, so that made sense. Try to learn whatever you can from Billy. But I feel like it didn't matter who it was. You were going to try to learn something from that person. It might have been X's and O's. It might have been recruiting. It might have just been, about as a person. But I feel like you're always trying to learn, no matter who it's from.
Maybe that's because I know I'm not that smart, so I got to constantly learn.
Whatever that it is.
It drives you crazy, Jeff, because, like, somebody will show up to practice that we don't even know who they are, right? And one practice, and this joke will go over and ask them, hey, man, so who do you think should start? Like, when'd you start practice? Yeah, who do you think should start? And then he'll come tell us, hey, Johnny, the GA or the whoever from this, he thinks he should be the
Hey, speaking of someone showing up to practice, you know, Tall T, his dad said when he was practicing, there's always going to be someone at the top of the arena. You just keep telling Tall T it's an NBA scout. And every practice, Tall T practiced hard when he saw that NBA scout.
That's good. Now,
Jeff, what I was getting to is that coach values everyone's opinion. And it's not necessarily that he's going to do what they said, but he takes in all the information and then deciphers it and then comes and, like, if he's sold on something, he's going to tell you, I'm sold on this. This is what I want to do. Let's not talk about it. Right. But if he's not, then he wants everyone's opinion and he values everyone's opinion and he's able to cipher through it and then come up with what he feels is best. And it's just amazing how he's able to really value everyone. And, you know, people talk about what good teams he's had, but just think of this dude he's like 100% on hires. Right? Like, tell me who he's missed on in, like, his ability to put a staff together and put the right people together. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So Scott, are you going to slow down now? Now after you won a national title, you're going to kind of – you're 50, you've won a national title. You're going to stop working as hard or what?
Well, as Coach Tang said, this is pretty fun. We want to do this again. We need to get to work.
So, transfer Jeff, portal.
We've talked about it. I mean, I think you are who you are, and you do what you do. And hopefully the older we get, the smarter we get with what we do. But at the end of the day, everyone on this call is a grinder. Nobody had a silver spoon in their mouth. Everyone's gone out and used the talents God's given them to their fullest. So we're going to keep grinding away and doing how we do it. So Ryan, I don't know. Did you want to say something?
Hey,
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I got two. I got two stories. One story everybody needs to hear. But before I say that, I'm the biggest nobody on this call. I just want y'all to know that. Like y'all, it is unbelievable the talent that is on this call and to see the talent that has accumulated in Baylor basketball over the last 18 years, 19 years. It's unbelievable. But I'll say this, as a walk-on with that first team, it's real easy to give the attention to the Jared Butlers, to the Henry Dugats, you know, to the Curtis Gerald's, to the Matt Samans, to all those guys, right, when you're recruiting. You know, that's easy, right, because everybody wants them. What really stood out to me with his entire staff and Coach Drew all the way down, Coach Driscoll, Mills, Tang, Moorfield, all those guys that were with us on day one, was that they gave that attention to us. Like the guys that they inherited, right, they had nothing. I mean, they didn't know me from a hole in the wall when they got there. I remember Coach Driscoll was in Dave Bliss's office the first day I walked in there with my mom. And he was like, "Who are you?" And I introduced myself. And he's like, "Yeah, I think I saw your name on the whiteboard." He's like, "Is that you?" And I points to the whiteboard. And he's like, "Okay, man." He's like, "Welcome. You know, let's get started. Like, introduce yourself and let's go." And so to me, that's what kind of speaks the loudest. You know, like I said, it's easy when there's a bunch of, you know, there's blue chips and five stars and all that stuff by your name. When there's no stars and you know that it's going to be a long road and an uphill battle, you know, to get in that trench with guys like myself, you know, that didn't have the talent and you know, things like that, and just grind it out. I think the perfect word, Coach, you just used it, grinders. That's kind of what this thing was built on. But real quick story, my favorite story, you want to talk about motivation tactics. The slapping one is good, but my favorite was we were going to Missouri. We're playing in Missouri. And I believe this is the first year. Matt Samans can tell me if it's not. I believe it was. But we're eating dinner the night before the game at a restaurant. And Missouri has this rowdy group of guys called the Antlers, I believe. And they show up to where we're eating at the restaurant. And they stand outside the window and they start saying all these, you know, terrible things. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that went on that we didn't have control over. And they start calling us all these terrible things. And I remember Coach Mills and Coach Driscoll stood up, didn't let them get to us because they tried to come inside. Kind of, you know, told them to go on their way. The manager of the restaurant told them to go on their way. So we finish dinner. We get done. We go to the arena the next day to have shoot around. We come in after shoot around. We're getting dressed for the game, about to go out. Well, who does Coach Drew bring in that locker room? But that same guy that was at the restaurant the night before to tell us how bad we suck, how terrible we are, how we're never going to win, just to get us all fired up, you know, and go out there. And again, I think we got it by, you know, we got handed it by 20 or something, but that wasn't the point. You know, that wasn't the point, man. He was, it's funny. Like we laugh about it now, but looking back at it, I mean, he's crazy, but at the same time, there's a method to the madness, right? Like he knew that would get us, you know, on a level that nothing else really could than him just coming in there being like, guys, we got to win another, try to win another one, you know, because at that point, like you said, when you're not on top and when you're on the bottom pretty much and you're losing so many games in a row, I mean, you got to get creative with how you motivate and how you get people to give that maximum effort all the time. But anyways, that's, you know, like I said, I'm a nobody on this call, man, but forever I'll be grateful to the way that Coach Drew and his staff treated myself and my family and all of us on that first crew. And, you know, I think it's great that Matt Samans and Tall T and, you know, if the other guys, you know, Harvey Thomas, Turner Phipps is on this call. I mean, he was there in the trenches as well. You know, Corey, all those guys from the first team, Ellis Kidd, you know, it was just maybe not Ellis so much, but you know, he was there in the beginning. Right. But no, it just speaks volumes, man. And like I said, it's real easy when you're on top, but they've been doing it since day one. And you can see that, you know, from the success of the Drew tree. I mean, with Coach Chris, you know, at Northern Florida and, you know, Coach Mills and I'm blanking. He wasn't with me, but, you know,
Coach McCaslin,
our coach at, yes, thank you very much at North Texas. I mean, it's just been amazing to watch, man. And I'm so proud to be the little bitty part that I was, but it just makes me proud that my kids get to see it now, right, on a whole different level. So thank you.
Well, listen, Anybody else want to jump in quick, or should I wrap?
AB, you want to say something? You are 3-0 in championship games.
I think the biggest thing with Coach Drew is what really surprised me when I first got to Baylor was, being at Kansas State and being a competitor at the time, like you say, the energy, you think the energy is fake. And, my office is right next to his, and I could literally say, no matter we lost or we won the night before, he speaks to me the next morning. And like something that small goes a long way, because he sets the tone in the office. And with his energy being high and his energy being positive, like everybody else has no choice but to be positive and have high energy. And the way he treats people, I mean, he, as many stories that we could tell how he treats people, but we have Vet Week, and that's something that I've never been a part of in my life. And all the vets come back for an entire week, and they play against the current guys, and they also share the knowledge that they have. And I think that's a huge, huge advantage for our program, because it's guys that have experience that's walked the shoes of our current players that's actually giving back. And, he has a ton of different stuff. And I could tell you one quick story. I remember my first road trip with Baylor. We scrimmaged Gonzaga, matter of fact. We scrimmaged Gonzaga in Oklahoma City at the Thunder place. And so we go in the locker room, and Coach Drew, like, the music is blasting. And I've always been taught, like, if you playing music or if you laughing, you dancing, like, you're not ready to play. And, like, he has everybody loose, and I'm looking like, what have I got myself into? And I remember calling my dad that night saying, man, you would never believe what we do to prepare for games. And, obviously, if I'm blessed to become a head coach, I'm going to do the exact same thing, because I see the method to the madness.
AB, tell him a story about recruiting, where you got pulled over.
I'll be quick on AB. I do remember AB just laughing hysterically the first time we were in that locker room to play Gonzaga, because he was like, no way. Y'all do this every game. Like, we used to beat on trash cans, at least now.
we upgraded. We got stereos.
We upgraded.
Al, you got to tell. Yeah, you got to tell the Atlanta story.
Yeah, so we're in Atlanta recruiting, and I always I'm a person that like to be on time. Like, so I leave early. Like, I fly the night before just so I could be at the gym early. But Coach Drew, he said, I'm going to take a later flight. So he flies in, and of course, everybody know Atlanta traffic is, like, ridiculous. So the games are about to start. And it's two games, so I cannot possibly watch both at the same time because the courts are far apart. So he called me. He said, man, I'm sorry. I'm a little late. I'm stuck in traffic. And I'm like, all right, come on, coach. I said, I'll cover this part. I'll cover one game, and then you will switch. So he says, wait. I got an idea. And then I just hear, like, he's driving on a median. And so he like, I'm catching up time. And then all of a sudden you hear, roo. He said, uh-oh. he said, I got to go. and so obviously he gets a ticket. I'm like, man, did you explain to him? Like, you probably could have told him. And, cause he's like, nah, he didn't look like he played basketball. He wouldn't have cared.
Hey, Jeff, that goes back a long way, too. You talk about coach's optimism and about how he's always believed and his vision. When we were at Valpo, he thought we were going to get Al Horford. And, and he explains to me this connection with the Dominican Republic and with Tito, and that we're going to get Al Horford. So it's us, UCLA, Louisville, Florida, and I don't know who else was in it. Tad Mata was there. I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing? Like, and he's like, we got a chance. We got a chance. We got a chance. We're driving home. You remember this, coach? We were flying. And Coach Mills already told you the story about his high-level radar detector.
Yeah.
But the high-level radar detector doesn't matter if the police are going the other way. And the guy's going the other way. he gets off in that roundabout, and he's going to come get us. And all of a sudden, like, we got like 2 hours left to drive. Coaches starts picking up the pace and gets off the exit. I said, Coach, what are you doing? He's like, man, that dude just got me. I said, what are you talking about? He's like, you'll see the lights in a minute. We're going to get something to eat. he knew how to do it, boy. He knew how to do it.
Yeah, we can edit that out.
My guess is that's not the worst thing you've done driving.
No. Hey, Jeff, once I got pulled over, and this all getting edited out, on the way to shoot around, and I'm late. And I tell the guy, hey, I'm late. It's shoot around. He goes, all right, I'll give you a warning. And I take off, and 10 miles down the road, I get the second one. The guy comes, it just gave you a warning. You know that. I said, let me just call. I'm not going to make it to shoot around.
You got pulled over twice in 10 minutes.
Twice. One warning, one ticket. This is all coming out.
Man, how many tickets have you gotten in your life?
Not as many as Mills, but I'm competitive.
You are? Are you right there?
Mills is number one on the staff. Coach Drew is number two.
Coach Drew, Jeff, would go for a flight. He would pull up, go in and get his ticket, come back out, then go park his car, and then go to the gate. That's how close he would make it to flight.
Because you know you got to get your ticket before they shut it off.
Yeah. You need to get your ticket before they close the door.
Yeah.
Hey, one time he asked me, he said, hey, I've got this rental car, and but I don't know if I'm going to make the flight. I'm going to be close. You think I could just leave it parked here by the airport and they'll come get it, right?
I once did that. I once left it and called the rental car place and asked them to go get it. I forget
did it work?
What it was, but it was something recruiting.
And it worked?
They did it. They did. They weren't happy, but they did it. Otherwise, listen, they didn't know where the car would end up. So
you can use that now.
Hey, Jeff, you know Coach is a movie buff, right? You know he knows everything about movies, right?
I did not.
So when I interview with Valpo, he says to me, I want to be, I said, what's your goals? He says, I want to be a high major coach. I don't want to be here forever. I want to, yada, yada, yada. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I said, listen, we need to go to the Pumps Retreat because it'd be good for you. I know a lot of people out there. I've done it for several years. And there's a guy out there named Bill Carr. He's a headhunter.
Yeah.
And you need to meet with Bill and I'll set it up and you can have lunch. So fast forward, it's the weekend that the whole Baylor thing goes down. So Tim Floyd's there. We're getting ready to watch John Wooden speak. And Floyd's like, we're all telling Coach, like, you're perfect for the job, all that stuff. His best friend was Kim Mulkey's husband at the time. So I'm thinking this is a pretty good weekend. This is really going well for Coach. So I give him this. He goes, does this lunch with this Bill Carr guy. Coming out of lunch, Coach says, now, listen, I don't know Coach that in depth yet. I've only been here 7 weeks. But I know Bill Carr, and we're coming out, and he says, hey, we're going to give Bill a ride to the airport. I said, all right, whatever. So we're going to the LA airport, 7 lanes, and Bill's in the back seat, and we're talking, conversing, and all of a sudden, Coach smacks me and says, Drisk, it's the one-armed bandit from The Fugitive. I said, and I'm trying to ignore him because I'm thinking – Bill really liked him at lunch. And if there's a high major job that comes on, this might screw the whole thing up. So he goes, Drisk, slow down. I think it's him. I think it's the one-armed bandit from The Fugitive. So we're in 7 lanes in LA traffic and we're driving. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, this isn't going to go well. Bill's going to cut us off. And Bill says, hey, Matt, I think he's right. I think it's the one-armed bandit. So Coach says, slow down. So we're on 7 lanes. We slow down. He puts the window down and he goes, hey, you're the one-armed bandit for The Fugitive. And the guy puts his window down like this much. And all of a sudden he just looks at Coach and he's like, gave him the thumbs up. And Bill Carr in the back, I'm looking in the mirror. He's like, oh, Scott, you were right. And oh, man, I mean, Bill Carr was like all into Scott Drew. It was amazing with the one-armed bandit.
Hey, Scott, what's the coolest call or text you've received in the last week since winning the national title from somebody that isn't a part of the family, somebody that you were just blown away at now knows who you are?
Oh, I honestly, I, I know the tweets out there to our guys that blew me away. Some of them. But I don't know if there's I got some childhood friends I haven't heard from forever. Maybe one of those. But I mean, I think it's more about the guys like Donovan Mitchell wearing a Baylor jersey. And I mean, Magic Johnson and like guys like that, Charles Barkley after the game, texting everybody, but more their success.
Chuck picked you, right? He picked you to win it all, didn't he?
Well, actually, he didn't before the game. But Chuck did have a message for our guys that was really good about rebounding. I think it had us motivated before Houston.
I texted Chuck.
Jeff, you're the only one to pick this, man. I'm telling you.
I'm not the only one. But I texted Chuck. I said, pick Baylor. And he didn't listen to me either, I guess. But I got one right.
Chuck doesn't listen to a lot of people, though.
I got one right. Listen, that Myrtle Beach game against Villanova, that sold me. That sold me. And, man, I was on the wagon for the last 2 years. It's been a pleasure. I mean that. It's been a pleasure covering this team, this group, coaches, players, former players. I mean, it's cool seeing Tweety Carter, who I hadn't seen in I don't know how many years. It's been a long time. And I'm glad we did this. And again, I'm really thankful, Scott, for everything you've done for this one. All right?
Thankful, too. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I know you wanted her to be a part of it, and I appreciate it because it's been fun doing these things with her. And you know how it is. I mean, your kids are a little bit younger. She's off to college in about a year. So
these things. That's how old he is.
Hey, have we decided where you're going to yet? Because we were still trying to get Baylor.
I'll come visit if we can. I'll try.
All right, we're getting too far for mom.
I know. My mom, I don't know if she'll let me, but we'll see.
There aren't direct flights from Boston to Waco, Scott.
Okay. But I will let Robbie know that definitely we've been upgraded on the show.
Yeah. Listen.
Hey, Devontae, Ty, AD, do you guys want to add anything? You know, Devontae is the best fisherman on the team.
No, I have a quick story. I just remember something that will always stick with me at Baylor, coming from junior college. You know, the level is extremely different. I had a workout with Coach Tang, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I just remember I was on the floor 20 minutes in, and I couldn't breathe. And, you know, and Coach Tang kept telling me, you know, stand up, you know, girls lean over, you know, and I'm a guy, you know, I take a lot of things personal. And every time he said that my body was telling me no, but you know, his words was like, I'm like, no, there's no way I'm gonna let this guy defeat me. Well, I just remember, you know, 30 minutes in, I just couldn't go anymore. And Coach Tang was just like, I feel like Coach Tang was looking at me like, yeah, I got you, you know? And I just, that workout always will stick with me. And it really pushed me like, you know what? I want to be here and I want to get better. So I remember my second year, I had the workout with him and I wasn't fazed by it. So I was like, okay, that's a check mark for me. Yeah. And I was like, one of my great stories that I have at Baylor. And one thing I just want to say that, you know, I'm very proud of you guys. You know, every interview that I get, I call it the 2019-21 season because it's just unfortunate what happened last year. And I do think that we would have been to the Final Four again last year, but I'm just very proud of you guys and proud of all the coaching staffs. And I know how all the hard work you guys do, you know, staying there, scouting and putting in the time in and, you know, emphasis on every single little detail that a player does, you know, and it doesn't go unnoticed for me. And I'm just very grateful and I'm appreciative of everything you guys have done.
So cool to see you there at the game, Devontae, you, Freddie, before he had to leave. That was really cool. AD, Ty got anything?
T-Swan had something.
T-Swan?
Yeah, I was going to share that recruiting, how you never take a day off. I know I run into Coach Mills, Coach Driscoll, and you during the AAU circuit with officiating. But I think it was two summers ago before COVID hit, ran into Coach Drew again in Duncanville at the Gasol tournament, I'm pretty sure it was. And, you know, Coach has always been consistent throughout my time after playing, and that's, I think that's a true measure of a coach's character as well. Because there's nothing that, you know, they can't gain from you at that point. It's their willingness to help you and look out for you. So we always get a chance to chop it up, and I'm trying to get some little nuggets from the coaches whenever I run into them. But you know, first thing he was like, "So where's your Baylor gear? Where's your Baylor gear?" I was like, "Coach, I mean, I didn't bring any shirts, sir. You know, I'm working camp, so it wasn't on my mind." So he was like, "What size are you?" And I was like, "Okay, it's 2X. All right, tomorrow I'm gonna have it at your house." And so I was like, "Okay, coach is gonna fresh me up with some nice gear." So going back to the story about the bright gold that Baylor kind of transitioned to after I finished, I mean, coach sent me the most loudest, the lime green, lime yellow shirt, CU shirt. I was like, "Yeah, you can point me out anywhere in the gym." But yeah, it was, and I wore it with pride. You know, I love what you know you guys are doing, the players. Carrying that torch. I mean, it takes a special group of guys to continue that going. You know, granted, me, Matt, and Ryan, and Will, and everyone else kind of started off, but it's important that, you know, Coach Drew and the coaching staff brought guys in to continue that work. And that work and that sacrifice wasn't done in vain. And, you know, hey, we're in Dallas, so, you know, Baylor is definitely the flavor of the year right now, and especially winning, being the second national championship that Texas has given. So has gotten. So I definitely want to applaud the sacrifice you guys have taken and experienced from day one to my departure to, you know, the work that Tweety, Quincy, you know, Isaiah, all these guys have done and laid the groundwork to what it is today. And yes, I remember those days overseas and staying up late and wearing Baylor proud, seeing that first NCAA tournament berth and Elite Eight. And it's like, hey, this is a new standard. Guys coming after that, continuing on that work.
Thank you, Tommy. Anything else, Ty or AD?
Hey, I think Tang's getting on me because Tang said you got to make some recruiting calls soon, Scott. You got to get in the portal.
I know. Ty, you got one in AD.
The only thing I'll say is I was disappointed to see Lace get off the call because I was going to hit up for some gas money for all those trips to Shreveport and back. But seeing all these guys on this call has been unbelievable. With all the generations of Baylor basketball, it's been great. And for a place that means so much to me and my family, it's been awesome.
All right. Listen, appreciate everybody. Scott, hope you enjoyed it. I did. I know my daughter did too, in terms of kind of hearing all the stories. And again, congrats to all you guys, to everybody associated with the Baylor program, you know, taking it from where you did to where it is now. Amazing job. So again, congrats, national champion Baylor Bears. So thanks, Scott.
Thank you guys very much.